thank you so much for playing and singing this morning. I want to try to teach you something. This is probably not going to be the most popular message I've ever taught. If we were selling CDs, we probably won't sell any of these. If you'll stand, I'll read you one verse, I'll let you be seated. Let's go to Exodus 20 and 23 through 26. He said, "Ye shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall ye make unto you gods of gold. Ye shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall ye make unto you gods of gold." I want to talk about, and I'm going to read some more in a minute, but I just want to pray and let you be seated. The beauty of plain. The beauty of plain. Lord, thank you for your blessings today. I'm thankful, Lord, for everybody that's here. Lord, I feel like they've come here for a purpose, and that is that the purpose is to magnify you and to grow in the Lord. Help us all to do our part as the body of Christ works together, that we may edify you in this morning. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. God bless you. You may be seated. Let's read a little further. An altar of earth shall you make unto me, an altar of dirt shall you make unto me, and shall sacrifice thereupon thy burnt offerings and thy peace offerings, thy sheep and thine oxen. In all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee. Wherever his name is, that's where he's at. And if thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stones, cut stones, sculptured stones. Don't even knock the edge off. However you find it, that's the way we're using it. For if thou lift up thine tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. If you knock the edge off, you polluted it. Neither shalt thou go up by steps unto thine altar. You build it up. I don't even want you to go up by steps. That thy nakedness be not discovered thereon. I don't want any distraction. I don't want only me to be seen at the place of sacrifice. Now let's look at Deuteronomy. Very similar, but we're going to go a little bit deeper. Deuteronomy 27 and 5. And there shalt thou build an altar unto the Lord thy God, an altar of stone. Thou shalt not lift up any iron tool upon them. Thou shalt build the altar of the Lord thy God of whole stones. And thou shalt offer burnt offerings thereon unto the Lord thy God. And thou shalt offer peace offerings, and shalt eat there, and rejoice before the Lord thy God. And thou shalt write upon the stones all the words of this law very plainly. Very plainly. I don't want any italics. I don't want cursive. I don't want capitals. I want it very plain. Then in Habakkuk has a vision about bondage and freedom and so forth. I don't want to get into that, but I just want to talk about these first two verses. He said, "I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved." And the Lord answered me and said, "Write the vision, write what you saw in your mind, and make it plain. Make it plain upon tablets, that he may run that readeth it." I want to talk about the beauty of plain. You don't think about how beautiful something plain is. When the Lord made Adam, he made him plain. He was plain. He was plain dirt. He was all dirt and breath. The breath of God is what he gave, but the other day he was dirt. And he was born without clothes. There was no style. There was no fashion. Just plain. Why? Because he was born in the image of God. And God was plain. He's plain. And so the Bible says they were naked and knew it not. It was just plain. But the fashion happened after the sin came. Then they said, we got to hide our sin, so let's get some fig leaves. And so they sewed fig leaves together. So you ladies will be interested to know that the first industry in the world was sewing. And they sewed fig leaves together. And when the Lord saw the fig leaves, he said, that's not going to do. We're going to upgrade that. That's not going to last long, so let's use fur. And he took an animal and he put fur coats for them. And they wore fur coats. Today, I had to make sure that this matched this and that matched this and this matched this. And so we've graduated from plainness to now to where it's like, well, that don't match. What are you thinking wearing that? Sometimes I'll just hold my clothes out to my wife. I said, she goes, no. No. Men, it doesn't matter as much. But we don't want to be laughed at. We don't want to be ridiculed. But anything plain is clear. It's clear. It's distinct. It's obvious. It's free of ambiguity. That's the word I'm looking for. It's free of ambiguity. Say it again. Yeah, that's it. It's free of that. It's easily understood, and you don't have to. It's not complicated. One person said, plain speech is easily understood. Jesus talked in parables for the most part because he only wanted those who were seeking him to understand them. So he just talked in these parables. I'm like, Master, what are you saying? We don't understand that. And he said, okay, come on. And he talked in these parables. But there was times that he talked plainly. For when they came to tell him about Lazarus being dead, they came and said, Lazarus has died. And he said, oh, he sleepeth. And they said, well, if he sleepeth, he doeth well. And they began to talk about how, you know, the sleeping and he's doing okay and somebody will wake him up. And all that. And finally Jesus said, and the Bible says this, he said, and he said plainly, Lazarus is dead, period. That discussion ended. That was it. There was no wondering if he's going to wake up or if he's sleeping, he's doing it. He's dead. And so sometimes when you just say it, as they say, quit beating, just say it, and we'll be done with it. And so when God met with Moses, he gave him these specific instructions about the law and about the sacrifice. He said, I want you to write on these tablets of stone, make it very, not just plain, very plain. I want it so plain, he told Habakkuk, that anybody that reads it doesn't have to say, now what does that mean? Now what do you get out of that? What do you think that means? And we ought to be running. He said, all that reads it will run. Instead, we're still trying to figure it out. So he said, I want you to make it very plain. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not lie or bear false witness. So the law became very plain. Then someone says, but what if I kill somebody accidentally? Oh, well, we got to work on that. And so, you know, we've gone from, I don't know how thick the Constitution is. I'll say it's probably about that thick. And now it's that thick. Even the UPC manual, I have one from about 100 years ago. It was about that thick, and now it's about that thick. What happened? Just make it plain. But, well, no, what happens if this happens? What happens if that happens? And so nobody runs. Nobody knows what to do because we have complicated this thing. And so by the time we get to the New Testament, there seems to be so much confusion over one scripture that's why I pass so many churches today of all different beliefs, because there's so much confusion, and it's, you know what? It's the letter. It's the letter. He said, when you write it, make it plain. And it's the letter. I don't see it that way. How do you see it? Well, I don't see it. Oh, I'm going over here then. I'll just go over here and put my marble. See y'all later. And so I want to read in John chapter 16, verse 25. These things have I spoken to you in Proverbs, but the time cometh. The time cometh. So Jesus is speaking in all these Proverbs. And what do you mean, Master? When I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall shew you plainly the Father. You going to show me plainly the Father when the Father is a spirit? I'm going to show you plainly. Did he not tell Philip, he that hath seen me has seen the Father? He said, at that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. So he's teaching us something here that we've got to understand. For the Father himself loveth you, not just me, he loveth you because he hath loved me. That's why he loves you. I'm like you, and hath believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father. I am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. So we can take this one scripture and we can come up with all kinds of denominations, we come up with all kinds of beliefs, we come up with all, but it really means one thing. One thing. It's real plain. What he said is, I go to the Father to send back my spirit. And when I send back my spirit, you will plainly know. It will lead you and guide you into all truth. That is the spirit of the Father. But we can take that and we can go different directions with it to where we don't agree. And so this thing has gotten so complicated now till people don't even preach doctrine anymore. They just preach love. They just preach peace. They just preach hope. And they don't preach doctrine because it seems to be so confusing. So we have to understand. He said, I go to the Father that I might send back the Comforter to be in you. That's why he said, I'm going to show you plainly. How many of you plainly know you got the Holy Ghost? I mean, you plainly know these things. The Lord wanted his word to be plain and written on plain tablets of stone. Further, he wanted the altars, the sacrifice, to be offered on unaltered stones. Don't knock the edge off. Don't sand that down. Well, it would look better if it doesn't matter. If we don't want that to look good, we want him to look good. And I'm trying to teach you something this morning. So he said, if you lift up a tool against that stone, you have polluted the sacrifice. You've polluted me. You've polluted the whole thing of why we're doing this in the first place. You're trying to make the stone look pretty, and people look at the stone and say, look how pretty the stone is, and they don't look at me. He said, the only thing you can do is plaster. Didn't he know that word was in the Bible, but he said, you can plaster them together. You know, like you put sheetrock together and there's a joint. He said, I'll let you use plaster to fill in the cracks and hold them together. Other than that, leave them alone. He did not want anything ornate, carved, sculptured. He wanted everything natural that came out of the dirt. For the earth is his, the Bible says, and the fullness thereof. I want it plain. So God likes things that are natural. He likes things that are plain. He likes things that that this is the way they come. 1 Peter 3:3. Whose adorning, let it not be of the outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and the weaving of gold or the putting on of apparel. But let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Are you seeing what I'm trying to teach you today? You can get so caught up in fashion and sculpture and how do I look and how fancy our church is and what do I drive and look at my shoes. What kind do you have? Oh, I can't afford that. I got mine at Goodwill. Well, honey, you get you a better job. You'd have. And here we forget the whole thing of why we come to church anyway. What is it all about anyway but him? And so he said, I don't want anything to rob me of my glory.
When you look at the sacrifice and the place of praise, I want it plain so that people see me. And when God, when people look at you, you should, they should see God, not you. Now, you can say what you want to about the Mennonites. I admire them. I admire those people. Because you, they all look like they wear the same thing. Why is it that with all the tragedies that's going on now in schools and all, they all want them to wear the same thing now? They all want them to dress alike now. Because they realize it brings down strife. It brings down ridicule. It'd be like, we're going to have church now. We're all going to start wearing the same thing. Well, Lord, I don't have to pick and choose what matches. I don't have to say, honey, does this match? We wear the same thing. I'm telling you, how many won't vote on that? I mean, it'd be cost us so much less. We'd have so much more to put in the offering and tithing if we would all just dress alike. You could just wear the same thing over and over. You just wash, just two's all you need. The problem with adornment that it drowns out plainness. Decor takes away from originality. Decor pollutes purity. God wanted Israel to sacrifice upon plain stones, plain dirt, not become ornate. I don't want your hand. I don't want you to start praising the works of your hands. This is good stuff right here. I don't want you to sculpture it, polish it, do anything with it, because then people start looking at how good you did and not how good I am. Now, I could tell you several places in the Bible where people were converted from idolatry and show you in each case what converted them from idolatry, but I'll choose one this morning. We've talked about this man called Naaman, and I want to talk about him a little bit more, because to convert anybody out of idolatry, you've got to do something miraculous, right? God wants man's attention to be directed toward the sacrifice and the worship, and not towards who you are, the captain, or I'm a this, I'm a that. See, I'm a captain, and I'm a this, and I'm a that, and I go to this church, and I drive this kind of chariot, and I have this many horses, and that's where men put their applause to. And he said, I don't want that. The Bible even says that men were created subject to vanity. We were created that way. We were created to want to look at me. You don't have to tell any of you that raise children, I promise you that they've come to your child, has come to you and tapped, watch me, watch me, watch me, watch me. You're not watching me, watch me. Did you see me? And we're not careful. We're just adults. We don't say it, but watch me, watch me. Did you look at me? She didn't say nothing about me. She didn't even notice that I wore this. See, nobody shouts on this kind of stuff. But anyway, as I was saying about Naaman, the untold story of Naaman, we always talk about Naaman and his leprosy and how he was cured, but we never really looked at the most important thing about Naaman. Wow, the untold story of Naaman. So let me talk to you just a little bit about Naaman, the idolater. Naaman, the Baal worshiper. He has leprosy, and only the one God man, only Elijah, had the cure for it through his God and the way he worshiped his God. Because Baal couldn't do it, or he'd already been well. So he goes down, you know the story. Let's look at a little bit of it in 2 Kings 5 and 14. Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and his and all of his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, behold, now I know
that there is no God in all the earth. See, we never preach that one. We never preach that part. We always preach about the leprosy and, woo, he got cured of leprosy. But he was converted from idolatry. When he saw the power of this God that Elijah served, he said, there can't be but one God. I'm serving all these Baal gods, and none of them could do that. But this God he serves, look, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. It's just in the land of Israel. You're the only ones that really have this. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. And, of course, his blessing was going to be changes of raiment and silver and gold and things like that. But he said, the man of God said, no, as the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, now here's the part that's never preached. And Naaman said, shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant, to himself, 2 mules burden of earth? I want some of this dirt. I want 2 mule loads of dirt. Burden of earth. For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. I want the dirt. Give me the dirt. I see now how Israel has this power with God. They're offering their sacrifices on dirt. They're offering it so plain that only God is seen. And here, and we got golden calves in our temple. We have silver this and silver that, and we don't get any answers from God. But you are doing it on dirt. Give me some dirt. Give me a warehouse church. I don't need a fancy church. I need people in the church. That's what I need. How did Sam's blow everybody out and Walmart blow everybody out? And even Home Depot and all that. They weren't worried how it looked. They just cut the box open and said, get it here. They weren't worried how pretty the boxes were. They just cut the cardboard box open and just put it out. That's what people wanted. I'd love to rebuild, but I'm not about rebuilding a fancy place. I want to rebuild so we have more capacity and more people coming to church. Give me, he said, some of the dirt. And now you know why he told Joshua and Moses, take off your shoes, you're standing on holy dirt, on holy ground, because I don't want anything between your foot and my dirt. Put your dirt on my dirt. You were made out of it. Put your dirt and you are connected to me. Naaman's miraculous cure converted him from idolatry to a one God believer. And verse 18, in this thing the Lord pardoned thy servant. Now he said, give me the dirt, but I want to tell you, if you hear something, if you hear this, I want you to understand what's going on. In this thing the Lord pardoned thy servant, that when my master goeth unto the house of Ramon, which was the temple of Baal, to worship there, and he leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Ramon, when I bow down myself in the house of Ramon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. What he is saying is, when I bow down, I'm not bowing down to Baal. I'm honoring my master. I'm honoring the king. So when the word gets back to you that I am bowing down, I want you to understand my sacrifices will be done on dirt. You find yourself many times working in places, brother, you work at a place that I'm sure it's not the most wholesome place for a Christian. But you can still live for God. So if you hear me, it's because I have to work there. I have to be there. Some of y'all, I know Brother Valentine worked shift work for many years. I hated that you had to work. Mark's working shift work. I hate that. But you have to do those things. So he said, when you hear back that I have bowed down, don't think that I'm bowing down to Baal. I'm bowing down because I have to, because I reverence the king or reverence my master. So Naaman realized the beauty of plainness. Give me some dirt. I'll trade you silver and gold for dirt. Just give me dirt. To finish this story quickly,
Gehazi decided to take the master, take what the master refused. And he idolized the gifts that Naaman offered, both the silver, and he received both the silver, the garments, and the leprosy. And the leprosy. He traded places with Naaman. So, when we go from the Old Testament, the Ark of the Covenant went into Solomon's temple, which was never a temple arrayed like Solomon's temple. It was ornate as they come, you might say. It was as beautiful could be. And you could read all the story. There's chapter after chapter. It gets so boring about how all the ornaments that was in there. And the Spirit of the Lord came. Why the Spirit of the Lord going in there then? The Ark of the Covenant was there. Sacrifices were still done out, and they brought the Ark of the Covenant was on the inside. But what happened was, Brother Petrie, was the kings go to their neighbor kings, to the worldly kings, come see my silver, come see my gold, come see my church, come see my place. Let me show you. Over here we have our altars are overlaid with gold. Over here we have our gold shields, and in this room here we have our scepters that are made of gold, and they're going like it. I'll be back and get it. And Hezekiah showed them all. He said he was framed, not one thing, the Bible says. And who he showed it to came back and robbed him. Guess what? He made shields of brass now, and he went through the motions of when the king would go in, they'd take the bucklers or the targets or the shields and escort the king as he came in. And the gold was gone. So they just went through the motions and got brass and beat it out and just went through the motions. And I'm afraid if we're not careful, that's what we do. We just go through the motions. We just go through the motions. And so what we find is that eventually the sacrifices of the temple are brought back to the dirt. From dirt you came, to dirt you go. When Job wanted to get serious, and any time in the Bible, when they wanted to get serious about something, they got on the dirt. Ashes, sackcloth, they went back to dirt. They didn't sit on thrones and golden crowns. No, they went back to dirt. And so the Lord said, I'm going back to dirt too. So in the New Testament, you read this. Hebrews 10 and 14. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he hath said before, this covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. I'm back to dirt. This is where he shows us plainly what he was talking about. Because now there's something inside of me that says, don't do that. You shouldn't do that. And if I do that, my heart condemns me for doing that. And so now the sacrifices of God are wherever two or three are gathered together. He said, wherever my name is, there am I in the midst. Wherever my name is, there I will meet with you. So if you leave his name out, then you leave God out. So if you want to be more like God this morning, and I think we all say, I want to be more like God, be more plain. Be more plain. I'm not telling you come in sackcloth and ashes, but I'm just telling you that you've got to get out of this mentality of trying to get people to look at me. You see, when they look at you, they miss him. And you become the glory rather than God in you, the hope of glory. When people look at you, they should not see you. They should see God in you. And I know my mom, she's here, and she's 83 years old. And so I'll say as much as I can while she's alive, because funerals to me are useless. In fact, I was even thinking after I studied this message, I thought, I don't even want a casket. I want to go to the dirt. I don't want to be embalmed. I don't want to be embalmed. And I won't be buried in 24 hours.
and I'm going to go right to the dirt. Because all that other stuff doesn't matter. Now, I'm going to do whatever y'all want to do, whatever you want to do. I'm just saying for me. And you're going, some of you will wake up one day and say, he's dead. Well, he's gone. He's gone. Because I won't go back to the dirt. Because he's going to call us back up out of the dirt. Dirt to dirt. But while my mom's here, someone told me the other day, she said, when I see your mom, it's like seeing an angel. She is so radiant as she walks out. You can, and this isn't even a godly person. She's not even of our faith at all. And she says, when I see your mom, you can see God. Hello. That's what you want. You want people see you, they see God, not you. God in you, the hope of glory. Amen. Did y'all record this? Because I know we're going to sell 100 of these. Hallelujah. Let's all clap our hands to the Lord. It's over. It's over. Hallelujah. When you preach about vanity, I'm telling you, I just want you to understand, when you get real serious about God, notice how you don't care about other things. You don't care about those things. When you get really serious about God, and if you ever get really serious about living for God, you'll never care about those things. It's not about those things. It's about when people look at you, you're a testimony of God. Let them see God in you. God bless you. Don't forget to sign up if you can in the back. Morning worship in about 15 minutes.